Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by Jeremy Stretchers, head of G10 FX for CIBC. How are you today, Jeremy?
Good morning. Very well, thanks, Zach.
I presume China's in the G10. Isn't China the G10?
Well, it's certainly on the radar screen. However you characterise it, it's always the elephant in the room, shall we say?
Well, speaking of that, we've got Donald Trump preparing to deal with President Xi Xi, or however it's pronounced properly. Is this a currency and FX meeting of significance?
Well, ahead of the semi-annual Treasury report on potential FX manipulation, clearly it has relevance. And of course, you know, we know from the Trump mantra that we saw in the campaign trail in the early stages of the presidency, there is an obvious issue in relation to, or at least in the perception of the US administration's mind, in terms of the valuation of the currency and the impact that has on the trade cycle and the what were perceived to be unfair trade competition. So clearly there are going to be some interesting elements to the meeting this week, and it will be fascinating to check the body language, as ever, come the post-meeting press briefing, because after Frau Merkel, I think markets will be monitoring that as closely as they will the official rhetoric coming out of the meeting itself.
She didn't want to shake his hand, or he didn't want to shake her hand?
Well, she asked...
He couldn't find his hands because they're so small?
Well, she asked for the handshake, and he politely ignored the request or didn't hear it, depending on one's point of view. As I say, one hopes there won't be a diplomatic faux pas in that context. And you know, if one wants to be flippant, one would hope that the President Trump doesn't try the Chinese Premier's name too often in the press briefing, because I should imagine that could go horribly wrong as well.
Exactly. But I mean, it's just to get it clear, what's the difference between a country being a currency abuser and maintaining stability in its currency?
Well, I think in the context of, you know, the US's claims and concerns about China being a currency manipulator, unfortunately, that's probably 5 to 10 years out of date. And in a sense, you could argue that China are manipulating their currency, but they're probably trying to stabilize it rather than anything else at this particular juncture. And in a sense, in the context of the international environment, that's probably actually a healthy thing to be looking at. So I think it's the classic case of being wary of what you wish for. And I think in the context of some of the criticisms that the US administration have been putting in place as regards China, it is rather out-of-date mantra and rhetoric.
Right. I mean, I just want to get on to currencies in particular. Article 50 last week, all the clever people, city experts and others, have been telling us for quite a while that sterling is undervalued at current levels. That's you know, the clever thing to be, or smart thing to think. Is that something you'd agree with?
Well, if you look at the traditional metrics, then yes, absolutely. But of course, we're not talking about a normal scenario, because of course we are talking about an existential threat to UK economic performance, or not, as the case may be, depending on one's point of view on the Brexit architecture. But ultimately, I think you could and should argue that sterling should be cheaper than its equilibrium value at this point of the cycle, because of course we are going to witness a deceleration in activity. We've seen some slightly softer manufacturing PMI already today. I suspect we will see something similar in services. So the rate of momentum in the economy is going to slow from that we saw in Q4. Consumers are not going to be able to maintain spending in the way that they did in the latter stages of last year. So sterling should be cheaper than its equilibrium value. But we have a scenario where investors are still almost record net short of sterling. I think most of the bad news should be largely in the price. So I think it does provide some opportunity for sterling to regain a little of its lost ground, but it is only a little. So I think we're still going to see sterling remaining very much on the cheap side of fair value. If we're getting back towards the sort of 130 threshold by the end of the year, in the context of where we were in the middle of last year, it is still the case that sterling is providing some degree of tailwind for an economy which is slowing down.
And what about the political side? I mean, potentially losing Scotland. Well, of course, that would be bullish for sterling. But Gibraltar, there's a bit of a niggle there. Any is that a factor at all, or is that just a bit of circus?
Well, I think if one can use the phrase saber-rattling in this particular context, and in the context of the heightening hostilities between Britain and Spain over Gibraltar over the last 24, 48 hours. But I think it is. I think we're in the pre-negotiation phase of headline-grabbing statements, and we're seeing that on both sides. And in the context of the UK's threats, or whether you perceive it or not, in terms of security and terrorism cooperation last week, now we're seeing it in terms of some of the pushback that we're seeing from Europe. So in a sense, we're in this pre-negotiating phase, and we will get a lot of comments coming out from the various individuals within the Brexit process. a lot of which are designed for domestic consumption to try and placate their domestic audiences to show that they're being firm or tough. And of course, we as market participants often tend to suggest they're always always those comments are directed at the markets, and perhaps that's where we sometimes get a little bit overexcited. So I think pre-negotiation phase, we're waiting until we get something a little more definitive, and we should do before we start to react even more significantly.
And the euro, are we getting into that phase where Draghi's taking his foot off the accelerator of QE and it's just gradually ratcheting up in strength?
I think that will be the case. I think we have obviously still some political risk. We get the second French presidential TV debate through the course of this week. So until the twists and turns of the French election process are certainly, if not cleared, but certainly much more clarified in terms of getting the first round out of the way, then I think it is going to be the case that there is still going to be some residual political risk in Europe. But once we can move beyond that, then I think we start to look back at the fundamentals. Yes, inflation was softer in the flash data last week, but overall the trend is in terms of a more constructive backdrop, both in terms of the activity data, we saw that this morning in PMIs, and a firmer underpinning on the inflation side. So as a consequence of that, the ECB doesn't need to be so expansive, and so we are going to see the gentle foot on the brake type scenario, and that will encourage a stronger euro through the course of the year, which ultimately is good news for the Trump Making America Great campaign.
That's wonderful. At least something is going in the right direction. Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 FX for CIBC.
Thanks very much. Today.